Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. It's a beautiful day. Sun is shining brightly, and God is reigning on the throne.
Amen. Amen. So grateful to be here. Mother sent me some beautiful pictures yesterday of her front yard, and it is just gorgeous. And today, as I look out, I see the sun coming up, the birds chirping. I just feel blessed. Blessed to be to have another day that God has given us. Thank you, Lord God, for it. As we get ready to move forward, just want to say, thank you again to my children. The best Mother's Day I've ever had. I'm just grateful that they all, my grandkids, my daughter, my sons, it is just wonderful. I was tired on Monday, but I tell you, it was blessed. I was so blessed. They just took care of their mom, and I'm just happy to say thank you. And to thank God for the children that he has given me and for these wonderful women in my life. Because I think that so many young people who are out there alone don't know that there are mothers out there who are willing to help them. All they have to do is let us. So I thank God that my children and my extended family are all there. So thank God today, if you have your mother, thank God today for your children. Be loving and kind, because you will find out that God loves you regardless, because you loving and kind. And the word that God gave me this morning is, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. And if we want to boil down moving forward, that's what it is. Early in the morning, we seek God through his word because our souls thirst for more of him. So thanking God again for a great day. Thanking God again for his presence and for his mighty word. As we move forward this morning in the word of God, we pray. Father God in heaven, I just can't do more than say thank you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you for the discipline. Thank you for the chastisement. Thank you for your loving arms in the middle of the night. Thank you for your hope that you put in my heart for future. Thank you for the thoughts, the love that you give, God. Thank you for laughter, God. For laughter is good for the soul. Thank you for just the people you placed in my life. Thank you for my children and this family. Thank you for this beautiful woman that I call Mother Valerie, who is like a mom, who's wonderful and cheerful and always has a big old hug for me. Not knowing that those are days that I really need a hug. So I'm thankful for this beautiful woman of God who called and said, can I read with you? And all I could say was, thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. Thank you for answered prayers, God. And I lift up this mighty woman of God. As we go forth, God, in your word today, that someone will hear the words that she speak, will hear the words that I speak, and want to seek and spend more time with you in your word. So, Father God, as we lift up the word this morning, we ask you, as always, to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are our strength. You, Lord God, are our Redeemer. You, Lord God, are the hope that we lean on. You, Lord God, are the strong arm that keep us up when we stumble. You, Lord God, are everything. And your Son, our Savior, paid it all for all of us on that cross. But he got up. He got up. And he's coming back again. Father God, I pray that we are all ready. As I lift this word again, I give it to you. Thanking you, Lord God, for being our strength and for being our Redeemer. And it's in the name of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, I pray. Thanking you, Lord God. Amen. Mother, I turn it over to you because I'm getting emotional because I just think about the goodness of God and all that he's done for me. My soul, whoo, cries hallelujah because I know, like David, I'll be more dignified than this because when you think about all that God has done for you in your life, you can't help but get excited. You can't help but tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. You can't help but want to praise him in the midnight hour. Praise him early in the morning. Seek him because you thirst for time with him. So as I give it over to Mother Valerie, I say again, good morning, family. Thank you for joining us as we seek and spend more time with God. Thank you for joining our devotional time together with God. I turn it over to you, Mother Valerie.
Good morning. Good morning, saints of God. Good morning, people of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Pastor sound like she has a grateful heart. And that's the way all of us should sound when we get up in the morning. We are being grateful. With a grateful heart to God, Jehovah, Abba, our Father, he made us. And we should show gratitude that he woke us up in our right mind, that we can read his word, that we can walk, that we can think, and that we can talk. I'm in 2 Samuel 5:1-6:23. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron, both saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out, brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel, be ruler over Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. That's what I said. God brought him in as a shepherd boy, and he was 30. With all the trouble that he had with Saul, he didn't begin to reign until he was 30 years old. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years, 6 months. Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years. And over all Israel and Judah, king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites and having the of the land, who spoke to David, saying, you shall not come in here, but the blind and lame will tell you, thinking David cannot come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. And David said on that day, whoever climbs up by the way of the watershed, defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain.
Therefore, they say, the blind and the lame should not come into the house. Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called it City of David. David built all around from Milo and Enmore. David went on and became great. Lord God of hosts was with him. Then Heron, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, cedar trees, carpenters, and masons. They built David a house. David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that he exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel. David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he had came from Hebron. Also, more sons and daughters were born to David. Now, these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shelemiah, Zobah, Nathan, Solomon, Ishkar, Elsha, Megad, Dura, Ishmael, Elmah, and Ebed. Now, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. David heard of it, was down to the stronghold. Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So you know what? That's a good thing to do anytime you're troubled and don't know what to do. David inquired of the Lord. He says, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? He went straight to the throne and not to the phone. That's beautiful. Lord told him to go up. So David went to Baal Perez, and David defeated him there, and he said, Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perez, and they left their images there. David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines went up once again to pour themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up. You see, God had another answer this time. When he was fighting the first time, he told David, go on up, go up. This time, he said, you should not go up. Circle around behind them. Come above them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to distract the camp of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him. And he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gaza. God spoke to David. David inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered him. First time he told him, go up. Second time he told him, no. Circle upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Always inquire of the Lord, even in buying a car. If you listen to the voice of God, you can't go wrong. If God say go left, go left. If God say go right, then go right. That's beautiful. That's totally, totally beautiful. Life lesson, 2 Samuel 5 and 10. David went on and became great. Lord God of hosts was with him. As long as David asked for the Lord's guidance, he enjoyed success. When he stopped listening for the Lord's voice, he landed in trouble. The same is true for us. When we follow the Lord wholeheartedly, as David did, we too will enjoy the presence of the Lord. And just as he did with David, he can cause us to advance and even to become great. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. He'll direct your path. I'm reading again, chapter 6. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart, brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Urah and Er, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart, brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Elo went before the ark. David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fig wood, on harps, string instruments, tambourines, and on cymbals. Now, when they came to Nicole, threshing floor, you was that, put out his hands to the Lord of God, took hold of it for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Zarah, and God struck him there for his error. He died there by the order of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst. You know, God allows you to get angry, but you don't let the sun go down on your anger. You have to repent. It said David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And he called the name of that place Peor to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the order of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the order of the Lord with him into the city of David. David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The order of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. The Lord blessed Obed-Edom, all his household. Now it was told David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the order of God. So David went and brought up the order of God from the house of Obed-Edom to David with gladness. So it was when those bearing the order of the Lord had gone 6 paces, then he sacrificed oxen and fed his sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the order of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpets. Now as the order of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, David's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. She despised him in her heart. So they brought the order of the Lord, left it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. David offered burnt offerings, peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings, peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole number of Israel, both men and women, to everyone, loaf of bread, piece of meat, a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. And David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me rule over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. I will even be more undignified than this and will be humbled in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken by them, I will be held in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. A lot of times you cannot, even though Michal was David's wife, she forgot. You can't speak against God's anointed. God, David was anointed. It said, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And like he said, he was dancing before the Lord. He was leaping and dancing. They say that he danced out of his clothes, but it was before the Lord. He said, I'll humble myself even more. I'll be undignified before the Lord my God. And because of it, she had no children to the day of her death. She was punished. Because children, even to this day right now, consider a blessing. So she was punished for talking against her own husband, against God's anointed one. You know, that's why they say even right now, in this day and age, you have to be careful how you talk against God's people. You have to be very careful about that. And our pastors are always saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. So she didn't have any children. Life lessons, 2 Samuel 6:9. David was afraid of the Lord that day. David failed to consult the word of God before he moved the ark. If he had, he would have learned the specific way God instructed his people to transport it. God never blessed disobedience. And David, the man after God's own heart, learn a hard lesson about the infinite holiness of God and the necessity of obeying his word completely. God is our friend, but he never ceases to be Lord. I mean,
Amen.
God is Father, but he never ceases to be Lord. He's God. And when that man touched the ark, well, he didn't know how to bring it into the city of God. And God put out his hand. I mean, the ark stumbled, and the man put out his hand. But the anger of God was aroused against him because he touched it. I mean, he was trying to do something good to keep it from falling, but it was best that he let that ark fall because he died that day. I mean, you have to do things the way God wants things done. That's just like when Saul waited for Samuel, and he decided, well, Samuel, you're not here. I'm going to offer the sacrifice. You cannot do that. He wasn't Samuel. And his kingdom was lost to him because he offered sacrifice when he wasn't supposed to. He said, well, I feared the people. I mean, you came late, and he feared the people instead of God and lost the kingdom. And just like this man, he lost his life. You have to do things God's way. You can't do things your way. It has to be Yahweh his way. And when we are disobedient, you can't just do it. You have to obey God. Obey God is better than sacrifice. And Pastor's always saying that. We have to obey God. Obey God is better than sacrifice. And we really, really have to be obedient children. That's just like the kids in the church. Pastor Bridget is over those children, and she's always telling the children to be obedient, to obey. Obey your teachers. Be obedient. And that's the way you teach a child, the way they should go. And in the end, you will save their life. God is a good God, very good God. And I thank and praise him for who he is. He's a great God. And today we don't have rain, but even when we have rain, it's still a great day. Anytime God wakes you up and then you're in your right mind and you can speak, you can think and walk around, it's a great day. So wake up with a great day. And I was listening to Pastor Bridget when she prayed. She sounded like she was just grateful that she woke up, grateful for her children, just grateful for everything. And I thank and praise God for Pastor Bridget because she's a true leader. She has a humble heart. And some of the things I see her do, my goodness, the lady just got strength. She's generous. She's kind. She's the woman of the Bible. She just represents Christ, and I'm thankful for her. I mean, to know her, I mean, I'm just thankful that she is who she is. I'm thankful for God making her to be who she is. In Jesus' name, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Mother. You know, so many times we get so snooty in our, you know, where we don't want to, you know, worship because we don't want to look undignified. You know, and every time I read this word and hear this word, I always think of Pastor Shirley Caesar and the song, Hold My Mule. You know, and the kids, you know, of course, back in a few years ago, made it into a meme. I got greens, beans, potatoes, and tomatoes, and, you know, God gave it, you know, but they don't understand the concept. You know, sometimes you have to have something the way that it should be in context. And, you know, it's Mother Shirley, because I call her Mother Shirley, because she's like a mama. You know, and she'll tell you, I remember mama in a special way. You know, she always tells, as before she sings the song, she tells the story to give the song significance. And Hold My Mule, that song, deals with the church body telling somebody how undignified they are because they got dignitaries in the church. you know, and you shouting and praising God, it just does something that, you know, we don't do all of that in our church, you know. And because they was a dead church, they didn't understand that you got to be alive with God. And you got to praise God. David understood, I'm going to praise him, and I'll be more undignified than this. You don't like it, it's your problem, not mine. Because, you know, David understood that through all the stuff her daddy sent him through, all them 8 years of running from that man, running here, running there, trying to keep himself and his family safe, as her daddy was trying to kill him, not for anything he did, but because God took away his anointing. Not his anointing, but took away his kingdom. Because he, again, was disobedient. We don't want God to take what we have because of our disobedience. You know, and David said, I'll be more dignified than this. And in Pastor Caesar's story, Mr. John, he tells him, he says, you know, look around you. Because he's out there with his little mule plowing his land. And he said, everything you see, God gave it to me. My children have never been in jail. They are educated with degrees. Everything I have, these greens, beans, and tomatoes, God gave it to me. He told him, hey, gave this to me. As they came in, they little fancy cars. He wanted them to know, I'm grateful for everything I got. David was grateful that God gave him the kingdom. David was grateful that God gave him opportunity to be king. And he danced for God because he loved God. In the music, John, and the song said, I feel like praising him. And we got to have that in our spirit every day. I feel like praising him. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noonday. We got to have a feeling of praise our heart, because God gave you everything, and the most that God gave you, he gave you life. Hallelujah. We got to feel like praising God. Mother, I with David, I'll be more undignified than this.
Amen.
I don't care
Amen.
What anybody say about my praise, because I'm going to praise God, because you don't know my story. They didn't know David's story, to come from, hey, tending sheep, to be the king of Israel and Judah, not a kingdom split down the middle, but a kingdom united. David did it because God gave it to him. As he said, I'm going to praise him. And you know what, my dear, I can't really care. You know what you got to say? Don't care. Because, hey, I know for, therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble
Amen.
In my own sight. David said, I'm going to be humble to God, because as Joe told the dignitaries of his church, God did it. Everything, God did it, and I'm grateful. So come on now. Oh, Mama, I got all excited. Love that word.
Amen.
And as we get into our word for this morning, you know, oh God, and this is a Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, when he was running from Saul, David wrote this song. And when you think about the context of him being in the wilderness, him running from this man that was chasing him because of God's anointing, David didn't try to elevate himself. God anointed him. God chose David after his own heart. Samuel, and it says, oh God, you are my God. We got to make it personal every day. Early will I seek you. Oh, my flesh longs for you in dry and thirsty land, where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And when I read verse number 1, and it says, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And I tell you this, when you live on a well and your well pump goes out and your electricity goes off in your home and your well pump don't work, which means you have no water. And I tell you this, you got to have water containers all over because you got to be able to flush. You got to be able to have water to drink. You got to be able to have, so I keep bottled water. I have a filtration system that, you know, I can put water in just to keep. You know, we got to understand that you got to be prepared in your dry season because we all go through it. Whether your dry season is financial, whether your dry season is dealing with real water because your well's not working. So I thank God every day for the water that comes out of my well. Every day when I get in that shower, to know that God gave it to me, that the water is coming from the earth, not from a pump, from a city, but from the aquifer that's at the bottom of the earth to go all the way down. That the water that comes up is fresh. It's not full of chemicals. It's not anything. It's just fresh water that comes from God. When you're on that well and you look, you know, I had a person come to do a little water test, and he got my well water, and he shook it up in this little container with whatever chemical he had in it, and he shook, and he shook, and he shook, and my water stayed clear. But he shook the stuff that he had, and his water got cloudy. But my water was not. Because, and then I looked at my husband, and I said, God gave it to us. And he couldn't do no more than say, I'm sorry, your water is cleaner. You're all right. And we thought, we already knew that because God gave it to us. And that's exactly how I feel. God gave it to us. So in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, and God gives you a well, ask Jacob, ask Abraham, Isaac, as they was going through and needed water and dug these wells and folks coming back up. Then they dig another well, somebody, this is mine. Now, if they done did all the work, somebody else wants to come and take the water. You understand. Amen. It then. The word of God will come alive when God shows you in reality the things that happen in life. It says, so I have looked for you in sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Come on, now we got to have an undignified praise like David. My lips will praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul, amen, shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Whew, what a word.
Amen.
You got to speak God every morning, every day. When you're in your bed, just spend time with him. Whew, as the song say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. 63rd Psalm, verse 1, my soul thirsts for you. Do you long for God as the psalmist did? Do you seek him early and pursue him throughout your day? Or do you feel satisfied with an hour or two on Sunday? Come on now. Dr. Stanley could preach, and he preached in these lessons. He said, your answer will determine the impact of your life. I feel lost when I don't have this time with God. I feel like I'm missing out on something. You know, even though I did the lesson on Saturday last week, I felt lost on Sunday when I first got up and didn't do my blog on Sunday, that I didn't get that time. So I spent time on the road with God. Me and God just talked. Me and God just singing. Me and God just having a good time. And before I knew anything, I was back in Springfield. Thank you, Lord. And then God sent my sons to talk to me. And my sons talked to me the rest of the way home. You know, as I was, you know, was like, okay, Lord, you know, keep me awake here. And then all of a sudden the phone rings. Now I'm singing. Phone rings, and it's my son, our oldest son. And before long, I had both my sons, and they on the phone, and they just talking. They talked me all the way to Springfield. My daughter woke me up talking to me. My sons did the rest. So it's like, look at God. And all I could do was be grateful and thankful because I was blessed. You know, and as we go into the 63rd Psalm, verse 6, I meditate on you in the night watches. And sometimes God will wake me up at 3 in the morning. And I just spend time with him. And then he'll say, okay, go back to sleep. And the next thing I know, I'm asleep. And mother will wake me up and say, oh, I'm reading today. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. And it's like you're refreshed because you just had some time with God in the night that way, you know. You're just awake. Okay, God, I'm good. Thank you for waking me up. And it says that when God brings a matter to your attention at bedtime, don't ignore it. Pursue it. Ask him what he wants to walk in. What he wants to walk in the Spirit is to obey the initial prompting of the Spirit. We got to pray. We got to ask God and seek him. Seek his word. Seek what he wants us to know. And as we go forth in the 63rd Psalm, seeking the Lord, what the Bible says about it. Have you experienced time in your spiritual life when you don't feel the presence of God? You know that God is there, but you just don't feel his presence. You know that he promised to answer your prayers, but when you pray, you don't see much evidence that he is listening. You get to the point where you read the Bible and it's just black print on white pages. Nothing about it comforts or motivates you. You're going through a dry and weary time in your spiritual life. Like David, you cry out, oh, for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. If you keep a diary of your spiritual life with the Lord, more than likely, here is what you'll discover. Those times when you don't feel God's presence usually come when your mind is focused on other things. Or something other than Jesus Christ. That means that although you have Jesus in your life, he's not your first priority. Ooh, if that shoe fits, we got to wear that tight shoe. Because there's been times that I've been there and I've done just that. It says, so what did David do when he felt those dry times? He wrote, I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. David sought the Lord. We should too. Here are 8 excellent reasons we should seek the Lord. Number one, we seek the Lord because Jesus Christ desires to be the object of our affection. Christ wants to be our focus, the most important person in our lives, whom we adore. We were created to love and worship God. That's our primary purpose. Our service should be to overflow of life, of worship, and love. 2, we seek the Lord because he wants to have fellowship with us. God created us to have fellowship with him and to express his love toward us. He desires to love us and be our friend. He is not only our Savior, Lord, Judge, Master, and King. He is our beloved. Jesus wants us to build a relationship with him, loving each other and fellowshipping with each other. See John 4, John 14 and John 10 are like, whoo, just when you need some time, those are the books to read. And James, just go on and read all of James, you know. Because James will take you there. James will make you feel
Amen.
Something about yourself. Because he keeps the very
Amen.
Real. You know, and it says we seek the Lord so that we learn to depend upon him. God is our provider. Come on now. And the source of all things. He satisfies all our needs. Therefore, God wants us to learn to depend upon him for everything, not just to come to him in times of desperation. He is eager to meet all of our needs. We seek the Lord because God knows the pressure the world puts on us. God knows that the pressure of the world is powerful. It's very easy for us to lose our focus upon the Lord because the devil is always attacking us with temptation. Unless you and I see Jesus Christ constantly, we will be tempted away from serving the Lord. Though we'll never lose our salvation, we'll lose the focus of our attention and our desire for him. Therefore, we must seek God constantly so that we can live obediently before him and experience his victory over the world. Number five, we seek the Lord because anything else we seek will disappoint us. If we seek anything else in life other than Christ, the deepest needs of our heart won't be satisfied. Only Jesus Christ can fill our most profound needs. Number six, we seek the Lord for our own protection. If we do not deliberately choose to seek the Lord, we will do evil. Why? Because we don't seek God. We'll drift away from him. And the pressure of this world would succeed in tempting us. We cannot fight temptation on our own. Rather, we can only fight our sin nature by maintaining a close relationship with Christ. Number seven, we seek the Lord because Christ is everything. Jesus is everything we need. Now, this doesn't mean we should quit our job. Come on now. Performing our vocation is different from seeking the Lord and looking to him to meet our needs. In fact, the career that God has called us to fulfill is part of God's plan for our life. However, a job should never be the main thing we seek, because it can satisfy our needs as Jesus can. Everything we have comes as a result of him living within us. Number eight, we seek the Lord because we become what we focus on most. Bam. Something to think
Amen.
About. If you focus on negative things, you will become negative. If you focus on sensual things, you will become sensual. If you focus on materialistic things, you will become materialistic. Whatever you and I focus on most, that is what we become. And what went to my mind is what a man thinketh, so is he. We got to be careful what we think. Therefore, seek the Lord, love him, focus upon him, and become like him. Seek him every day of your life. For as long as you live, he will be your oasis in the dry times of your life. And like David,
Amen.
You'll say, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 16 through 17. How much better to get wisdom than gold, come on now, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. We got to think about what comes out of our mouth, because the enemy will take what you say and use it against you. We got to be very careful, because God is seeking people in this season who will speak uprightly, who will choose him over whatever's going on in the world. When we started saying, I choose God, choose you, Lord, over whatever's going on in my life, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to love you. God will help you get everything else. put back into place. We all have our messes in life. We all go through our seasons of foolishness. And we have to ask God, Lord, help me. I can't do it on my own.
We need you, Lord.
As the song says, I wasn't smoking normal. Not another minute, not another hour. I need you right away. I need you now. And we need God now. We got to seek him in the morning. We got to thirst for him. We got to say, early will I seek for you. My flesh longs for you. We got to long for God. Oh, God, you are my God. We got to have that in our spirit. And if you get into John chapter 5, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And I just want to put a pin right there.
Amen.
As we all know, archaeologists are always digging around the Holy Land. They have found, they believe, this pool of Bethesda. It's empty, but they have found it because everything about it, as they are digging around it, is the description that comes from this word. So Bethesda has been found. Again, God every day is showing my word is true. All you got to do is open it up and read it. Hallelujah. And I just love it that they have found Bethesda.
Amen.
For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, "Who was cured? It is the Sabbath. Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed?" Now understand, does that just sound foolish? It's the Sabbath.
Amen.
Why are you carrying your bed? You've been made whole. Would you not be rejoicing that this man has been cured? Would you not be rejoicing
Amen.
That he is whole, but instead you use theology and religious doctrine and to do with nothing? Because sometimes we get so caught up in the doctrine that we forget the God who is all about. They have forgotten God. They have forgotten what the Lord said. He wasn't working. He was grateful. And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk."
Amen.
Duh. Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" Not, "Praise the Lord, you're healed." When you read the things that some of the religious leaders of the time said and did, you're thinking, who do you serve?
My Lord.
The food you have is not godly. It's not kind. It's not wholesome. It's a whole bunch of religion and not enough of loving God. I had a keychain for years that said, "I'm not religious. I just love the Lord." You know, we got to get out of religiousness and get into just loving the Lord. And then it says, then they asked him, again, I got to read this. Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said you take up your bed and walk?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, but Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Which means he got better and was partying over here and partying over there. Let's call it like it was. The man got healed and lost his proverbial mind. And Jesus came back to remind him, understand, you better stop sinning. Are you going to be worse off than you were before? So this kind of made him mad, I think. And so this is what he did. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now understand this. He made you well. As mamas used to say when you was disobedient, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Jesus wanted to make sure he understood. I made you well. And the next time, you'll be worse off than you was before. So you better stop sinning. And so now he's like, I'm going to tell them, huh? He going to tell me what to do. You better watch yourself. You know how folks get those little attitudes. Preaching, and I know she's talking to me. Excuse me, when pastors preach, they don't know your story. They don't know anything about you. When God gives us a word, he gives us a word. Am I right, Mother? He gives us a word. We don't know who that word is for. We don't know anything about anything that's going on with the congregation. We just preach what God gives us to preach. And so what happens is, if that shoe, again, is fitting and it's a little tight, it must be you. God had this word for it. Just like Jesus came up to the man. Sin no more unless a worse thing come upon you.
Now,
giving him a warning. But then he going to run and tell the Jews. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. You should be grateful. You should be thankful. And it says, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Because he had helped people on the Sabbath.
Amen.
Loved people on the Sabbath. Because he had healed people on the Sabbath. So religious that they don't know who God is. So much about, we're going to follow this rule. But God wants us to be helpful. God wants us to be loving, even on the Sabbath. Jesus helped people on God's day. What better day to help somebody? Answer them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews are all the more to kill him, because he was not only broke, he not only broke the Sabbath, which he didn't. He was not working. He was doing God's business on the Sabbath, healing and feeding and helping those that were in need. But instead, they took the religiousness of the Word of God and took out God. We can't take God's Word and take God out of it. Remember the Sabbath, and we keep it holy. How would you keep God's day holy more than helping somebody? More than being there for your fellow man. More than feeding a child. More than giving someone something to wear. You know, God wants us to live the Sabbath. And that means we got to keep it holy by doing God's holy divine word and trusting God. And he said this. When Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. But as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed. All should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And you know that made them folks upset. Because Jesus is saying, y'all supposed to be honoring me because the Father sent me. And they was not liking that. And as we go back into the life lessons for this, it said, in John 5:14, you have been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Not all sickness is a result of sin, but some may be. Paul told the Corinthians that because of their sin, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Many die because of sin. You know, if you out there doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing and get an illness and get a sickness, then that's on you because you know you weren't supposed to be doing it. We got to be careful. And it says the Jews saw all the more to kill him because he said that God was his father and making himself equal to God. John 5:18. Jesus' opponents understood very well that he made several claims to divinity, and he never objected that they had misunderstood it. He often said he had come from heaven and will return there. And everything he said, he did. Did he not ascend? Did his disciples not see him ascend? Did they not see him go back from whence he came? Did they not see him transform? Come on now. Don't tell us what God can't do, because God can do all things. And as we go back into our word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, as always, she's on point, I'm sure, this morning. I haven't seen her word yet, but I know that it's going to be a good word because it always is. And this word on yesterday, and it says, good morning. If God can bring you to it, come on now. He will take you through it. He has you. Hallelujah. We don't have a worshiping Wednesday. We had a triumphant Tuesday. We don't have a worshiping Wednesday. Because if God can bring you to it, the kingship of Judah and Israel, he will take you through it, running from Saul here and there like you are a rabbit on a hunt or a fox being chased.
My Lord.
David came through it all because God brought him through it. And that's why he didn't mind being undignified. That's why he didn't mind thirsting after God. That's why he didn't mind seeking God early in the morning. And he didn't mind saying, early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. Just like we thirst for water, we need to thirst for God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a mighty word this morning.
Amen.
And just a quick word for today from my prayer book. And it says, Father of goodness, praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. And when we say this, David did just that. He danced for God. He sung for God. He made instruments for God. And I just want to read a small section because I know our time is up. And so for those
Amen.
That have to leave exactly at 8, may the Lord watch between me and thee, someone from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And for those that can stay for this quick prayer, it says this, good Father, all you do is done with the stamp of your incredible love imprinted on it. I can't help but be amazed by the ways you have faithfully shown me that you are with me. There is nothing dictating that you pour out your love on me. You do it out of the overflow of your very being. It is too wonderful for me to understand. My mind cannot reason this kind of love. I am so grateful that you don't change based on my own mood or circumstance. You are rock steady, never second guessing your output. If I were to thank you every moment of every day of my life, it would not be enough to adequately equal the measure of your abundant goodness. But that's not what you're looking for anyway. You love because it is you who are. Fill me up, Lord, that the overflow from my life will look like your character. What a word, and that fits so much in today's lesson. And the question is, where do you see the goodness of God in your life. And I just say to this, I see it every day. I see it in my children, my grandchildren. I see it in my family, in my church family. I see it because God loves us. And we got to love him back. And we got to keep it in our spirit. Oh, God, you are my God. Early, but I seek you. As CC1 says, your goodness is running after me. We got to let God's goodness seek us too and accept it. Open your heart to the Lord today. If you don't know him, today is a good day to get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't wait, because you never know. Your tomorrow may not come. Love the Lord with all your heart today and trust in him and his word. Don't mind being undignified. David, dance for the Lord, you dance too. I'm going to dance, I'm going to sing, I'm going to give praises to the King, as the psalmist says. We got to love God and watch him love you more. Have a great day, family, because Mother Valerie and I both love you. And what, Mother Valerie, nothing they can do about it but love God. And as
it's
we
a
say,
wrap.
It's a wrap, because we've already prayed out. It's a wrap. I got to go to work.
It's a wrap.
So I love you all. Be blessed. Mother, thank you so much. It's such a joy to hear you read and to be a part of this with me. Thank you so much. I love you, love you, love you. Sending hugs across the miles. Have a blessed day, family. And keep our children in your prayers. As I was speaking, a bomb threat just came to our school district here.
My goodness.
We have got to pray. So pray for the children of our school district. You know, bomb threats and threats of gunmen. We have got to pray for the children of this world. Keep your kids lifted today and ask God to keep them covered under the blood, wherever they may go, to be with them, taking care of them and covering them with his love. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. Seek the Lord. And you will find
it. It's a wrap. Love you, Pastor. It's a wrap.
Love you too, Mother. Have a blessed day.
You too.
It's a wrap. We're out. Mother and daughter are out.